A little boy was walking along a city sidewalk, looking lost and alone, and a police officer came up to him and said to him, young man, it looks like maybe you're lost. Can I help you? Can I help you get home? Can you tell me where you live? Your address, little boy. I don't know my address. I don't know the street I live on. But then the little boy looked around and he noticed in the distance there was a church steeple with a cross on the top. And he pointed to that steeple and he said to the police officer, he said, just bring me to the cross. I can find my way home from there, because his home was not far from that church. Bring me to the cross. I can find my way home from there. For 2,000 years, the church has been for millions of believers that steady point of reference in a confusing world, in a world that's always changing under our feet. The cross of Jesus Christ remains steady, the place that we can always go to and know that from there we will always be able to find our way back home spiritually. The cross is at the center of the Christian life for a reason. Because it is faith and not religion that saves us. Faith is a living, personal relationship with a loving God. Religion is all the different forms that faith uses to express itself. Faith does not come from religion. In fact, it is all too possible, and we see this in the Bible again and again, for people to observe all the outward forms of religion and yet lack that true and living faith. But if faith doesn't come from keeping all the forms of religion, from going to church and saying your prayers and reading your Bible and doing good deeds, where does faith come from? Well, faith comes from a single source, the cross of Jesus Christ. Faith is that God-given, Holy Spirit-inspired certainty that you are loved just as you are, all the way down to the core of your being. You are loved by one who was willing to go to the cross for you, by one who died in your place so that you could live forever. But that's why the cross remains the central symbol of the Christian faith. That's why today we celebrate the Holy Cross. It was on September 14th, according to tradition, back in the 4th century, that workers digging the foundation for a new church near the place where Jesus had been crucified in Jerusalem found what they believed to be the actual cross on which Jesus had died. And from that time on, the cross was revered as a holy object. The story goes that people broke off pieces of that original cross, and those pieces kind of floated around Christendom until by the time of Martin Luther, it was said that if you could gather together all the pieces of the true cross, you could build a house with it, maybe a small city. That Martin Luther worked to restore the cross to its rightful place at the center of Christian faith and life, not as a holy relic to be worshipped, but as the source and the shape and the goal of faith. For the cross on which Jesus died is God's ultimate sign of his love for sinners. As our gospel reading for today reminds us in those beloved worlds, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. But that's not all. The cross on which Jesus died is your cross and my cross. As I told our children this morning, when you were baptized, the pastor marked your forehead with the sign of the cross. And as a Christian, as a person of faith, The rest of your life will take the shape of a cross in at least three important ways. First of all, the cross is what happens to you when you hear that good news of God's love and it somehow grabs hold of you. If God loves you already, all the way down, exactly as you are, no matter what you may have done or failed to do, then all the things that used to matter don't matter anymore. Your old life is over, dead and buried. Both your sins that you thought kept you separated from God's love and also those good deeds that you thought earned God's love, all of that has been nailed to the cross. Faith means that all your efforts to run away from God are pointless, and also that all your efforts to climb up to God on a ladder of good deeds are equally pointless, because God has found you where you are and accepts you as you are. Now, second, once God's love has taken hold of your life in this way, brought your old life to an end, the cross then becomes your decision that you make every day to respond to God's love in the only way that makes any sense, by loving God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, loving your neighbor as yourself in response to the great love that God has given to you. If faith is a living relationship with a loving God, that relationship has two dimensions to it. One dimension of that faith is the vertical dimension of our love for God. God's love being poured down upon us and our response to love vertically up to God, loving Him with our whole heart. But then the second dimension of that faith and that love is the horizontal dimension, as we reach out in love to our neighbor. And so those two dimensions, the horizontal and the vertical, make a shape. And that shape is the Holy Cross. Our lives are meant to be cross-shaped. You can't have one without the other. For in God, you see the face of your neighbor. And in your neighbor, you see the face of God. And finally, when you make that daily decision to live a cross-shaped life of love for God and for neighbor, don't wait for the world to applaud. As Martin Luther wrote in his large catechism, we who would be Christians must surely count on having the devil with all his angels and the world as our enemies, and must count on their inflicting every possible misfortune and grief upon us. For where God's word is preached and accepted and believed and bears fruit, there the blessed Holy Cross will not be far away. Let nobody think that he will have peace in this world. He must sacrifice all he has on earth, possessions, honor, house and home, wife and children, body and life. Now this grieves our flesh and our old Adam, our old self, for it means that we must remain steadfast, suffer patiently whatever befalls us, and let go whatever is taken from us. So the cross-shaped life is also a life of freely accepted suffering and hardship. The cross is the shape that love takes in a sinful world. If you open your heart to love, if you dare to love God with all you've got and your neighbor as yourself, you make yourself vulnerable. If you love, you will be hurt again and again. People will use you. People will betray you. People will reject your love. Your heart will be broken. It is so much easier, so much safer to hold back your love. to dole it out carefully, a teaspoon at a time. To risk only as much of yourself as you absolutely have to avoid the pain. But that is not the way of faith. That is not the way that Jesus chose. That is not the way of the cross. C.S. Lewis writes in his book, The Four Loves, to love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to be sure of keeping your heart intact, you must give it to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, your heart will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. To love is to be vulnerable. And if God is love, then God, the immortal, invisible, all-power creator and ruler of the universe, is the most vulnerable of all. We see the vulnerability of God revealed most clearly in the cross of Jesus, in the lifeless body of God's chosen Messiah, rejected and condemned by his own people, nailed to a cross. The Apostle Paul put the cross at the center of his life and teaching. Paul proclaimed a God who chose to become vulnerable out of love for sinners like us, who allowed his heart to be broken on that cross. The idea of a vulnerable God was shocking to Jews who could never accept it, and laughed off as ridiculous by Greek philosophy. And yet that message of the cross contained and still contains the awesome power and inscrutable wisdom of God that alone can heal our broken world. Let us pray. Holy God, lift high the cross in our minds and our hearts and our lives, and help us to lift high the cross to others as we share your love in word and deed, as we take the risk of becoming vulnerable to make your vulnerable love known. In Jesus' name, amen.